The European Union says it will impose fresh sanctions on Belarus as a migrant crisis on the Polish border intensifies. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Thousands of migrants, mostly from the Middle East, have been trying to cross into Poland in recent months. And this morning, EU foreign ministers have been meeting to figure out what to do to mitigate a growing humanitarian crisis. The EU has this morning widened the criteria it uses to impose sanctions. It will now target individuals and entities organizing or contributing to activities by Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko's regime that facilitate illegal crossing of the EU's external borders. Earlier, Germany's foreign minister said airlines taking migrants to Belarus could be banned from landing in the EU. He warned that the EU was far from the end of the spiral of sanctions it could impose. Meanwhile, Iraq said today it's organizing voluntary repatriation flights Thursday for its citizens stuck on the Poland-Belarus border. A spokesman said 570 Iraqis want to return home. Last week, the Belarusian state airline said it would no longer take citizens from Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, and Iraq on flights from Turkey to Belarus. We'll continue to follow this story as it unfolds today. To China now, though, where the Beijing Stock Exchange officially opened for business today. Among those listed are small and medium-sized companies focused on software, pharmaceuticals, and manufacturing. 10 new firms began trading on the exchange after recently completing initial public offerings of their own. They were joined by 71 other companies that moved their listings from another Chinese venue. Though the majority of shares notched declines in the first session, the BBC's Marika Oi explains this launch is all part of President Xi Jinping's efforts to reduce China's dependence on foreign money and technology.
So about 2 months ago, President Xi Jinping announced a plan to have a new stock exchange in Beijing. So it happened rather quickly. And I guess the aim from Beijing's point of view is to allow very innovation-based startups to raise capital. You know, they may not qualify to list in other places like Shenzhen or Shanghai or even Hong Kong, but, you know, they at least can list here. And this allows those companies to raise capital, but also rely less on foreign money instead of trying to list elsewhere in the United States, for example, where because of trade tensions between the US and China, there are much stricter restrictions and so on.
And this sort of ties in with the regulatory crackdown we've been seeing so far this year in China, right? Because this is all aimed at small and mid-sized companies that really the administration wants to support through this common prosperity mechanism, right?
Indeed, and they've been particularly hit harder by the pandemic compared to bigger tech giants. And as you say, Beijing has been really clamping down on not just tech giants, but, you know, other businesses like after school private tutoring and so on. But at least by giving them this option, Beijing wants to show that they are still trying to encourage innovation.
The BBC's Marika Oi for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thanks, Victoria.
Checking the numbers now, global benchmarks are largely higher this morning, thanks in part to retail sales and industrial output data from China that beat expectations today. Here in London, shares of Royal Dutch Shell are up about 2% this morning. The Anglo-Dutch energy giant said it'll give up its dual share structure and move its tax residency from the Netherlands to the UK. It'll also drop Royal Dutch from its name. While the company says the move is designed to boost competitiveness, the Dutch Minister for Economic Affairs says the government there is in talks with Shell about the consequences for jobs, investment decisions, and sustainability. A new lockdown has gone into force for millions of people in Austria who have not been vaccinated against COVID-19. The new measures come amid a record rise in cases there, but hundreds of people have protested, waving banners reading, "Our bodies, our freedom to decide." The BBC's Bethany Bell has more on that from the nation's capital, Vienna.
The unvaccinated in Austria are already barred from restaurants, hairdressers, ski lifts, theatres and cinemas. But now the rules are getting even tougher. People over 12 years of age who are neither vaccinated nor recently recovered will now only be able to leave their homes for essential reasons such as work, exercise or shopping for food. Austria's Chancellor Alexander Schallenberg said because the vaccination rate in the country was shamefully low, he had no option but to act. The measures will be in place for 10 days. The authorities say the police will carry out random spot checks of vaccination or recovery certificates on people in public spaces. Some critics have questioned whether the move is constitutional. The far-right Freedom Party has said it will create a group of second-class citizens.
That's the BBC's Bethany Bell reporting from Vienna there. Well, new lockdown measures are also being considered in India's capital, Delhi. Not because of coronavirus infections, though, but worsening air pollution. Schools there have been shut for a week while building sites have been shuttered for 3 days and government officials told to work from home. The BBC's Nikhil Anamdar explains why officials decided to take action now against a problem that picks up at this time every year.
The primary reason for this is the crop waste fires in the nearby states of Haryana, Punjab and Uttar Pradesh, which all feed into Delhi's pollution problem and worsen the air quality. And that's exactly what's happened this year as well. And while that is a major source of air pollution during the winter, there are also several others, including coal-fired plants outside the city, the burning of garbage in the open, as well as vehicular pollution, which is exactly why India's Supreme Court has told the government authorities essentially to shut offices and ask people to work from home. They're looking at this as one way to reduce the hazardous air quality, and the Supreme Court has now directed the government to actually come together with the other states and have an emergency meeting to take more sort of long-standing measures to address this issue.
Now, you mentioned coal burning as one reason for the pollution that we're seeing now, and this lockdown all comes just after the COP26 summit wrapped up this weekend in Glasgow. It ended with both China and India pushing for language on coal usage to change from phasing out to phasing down. So how is the country looking at that problem as a contributor to climate change and pollution there?
I think you have to understand that it's impossible for a country as large as India, so heavily reliant on fossil fuels, to actually reduce the reliance on it quickly enough, and which is why you've seen that change in language to bring down the dependency on coal.
Is there a focus on reducing the use of coal?
There is certainly a focus on reducing the use of coal. Also, I think India has made pretty aggressive commitments in terms of 500 gigawatt of renewable energy by 2030. But I think there have been sticking points in things such as climate finance, for instance, or who has the historic accountability to do it more quickly. We also at COP26 have announced a net zero target, although many critics say that it's too late by 2070 when many other countries are doing it by 2050.
Air travel has also been a focus during the last 2 weeks of climate talks. Today, though, India is reopening to foreign tourism. That's a move that many other countries have made over the last several months. That presumably also is welcome relief for the tourism sector during a peak travel season, isn't it?
Well, Victoria, this is certainly, you know, huge relief for the industry. You know, they've been anticipating this day, particularly the hotels and the airlines, which have been quite badly impacted by this ban because no new visas were granted for the last 19 months. And it was only on the 15th of October that chartered flights were allowed. But starting today, tourists and all commercial flights would be allowed. They will, of course, have to be vaccinated. More than 70% of the population has also had at least one jab of the COVID vaccine. And what's also interesting, Victoria, is that the easing of restrictions on foreign travel coincides with the peak travel season that will be starting here in India. And the industry would be really looking at this season to recoup some of the losses that they've made over the last year and a half.
The BBC's Nikhil Anamdar for us in Mumbai. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.